Welcome on in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Memorial Day edition of Front Trenches Stock Car Scoop. Brian Owen here, along with the man that is rocking a beautiful beard, that being Adam Cheek. Adam, it was Memorial Day weekend, the greatest weekend in all of racing for the entire year. And one of the two races did not disappoint. The other one was just a little bit of a struggle, but that's okay. We'll get to it in a little bit. Just your overall thoughts on just Memorial Day weekend in itself before we dive into these races.
Oh, well, thanks for noticing the beard, first of all. It's something I've been trying to maintain since COVID started. It's gotten way too long at points where I kind of get complacent with it, and then I'm like, oh, that looks terrible, and then I have to remedy that. But no, Memorial Day, missing Monaco on Sunday morning for sure. Love that track. Love racing it on video games. Love watching races there. But unfortunately, that was a week earlier than usual. But it was great. Indy 500 and Cup back to back, and it worked out because I woke up basically right before Indy started. I watched Indy, and then I had maybe a half an hour watching post race and getting ready. Went to work. Was producing a Flying Squirrels game that night and had the race on and was able to do both and enjoy some baseball and some racing at the same time. It was a lot of fun. Good Sunday.
Adam, before we talk NASCAR, we can't let the greatest day in motorsports pass by without the greatest spectacle of them all, the Indy 500. And what a finish it was, my friend. Elio Castroneves passes Alex Palou with two laps to go to join an illustrious crowd of not one, not two, not three, but four times he has won at the Yard of Bricks. Adam, your overall thoughts on Elio getting his fourth win in open wheel's biggest race at the very young age of only 46 years old?
Oh man, it was great. Like the battle started being reminiscent of like 2019 between Alexander Rossi and Simon Pagenaud. Pagenaud was in the mix there at the end. He kind of came out of nowhere to get a podium, but I absolutely loved the emotion at the end there from Elio, besides him climbing the fence like the days of old. His pure elation and excitement and like appreciation for the Indy 500, the spectacle and Indy car racing as a whole was super infectious. And I don't think there was a dry eye behind a TV screen anywhere. Getting the first win for Meyer Shank Racing was pretty cool too, which is a team I think is on the rise with Jack Harvey, kind of steadily improving over the last few years. Just a lot of great racing. And you can't beat the 500, man. I was missing Monaco for sure, like I said, as part of the triple header. But it was a solid race, great start to a day of 1,100 miles. And the battle between Elio and Palou was really good. I thought we were going to have a much closer finish as they started hitting lap traffic there at the end. But maybe my brain's still on NASCAR mode and thinking that would hold them up more. Maybe in IndyCar, you got to get more of a run at full speed. But it was great. The battle was great. The win was super touching, and I can't wait for next year.
Yeah, it was crazy. You mentioned the lap cars. I'm in a group chat with you and then a couple of the Front Stretch editors, Michael Massey and Zach Sterniolo. And I think it was the last lap even, I messaged you guys. I was like, OMG, these lap cars. Because there was about not just like two or three, there was about like 10, Adam. It was wild to see. But Elio Castroneves, 40 years old, energetic as he was at age 21. I mean, it's wild to see one of the good guys in the business. So congrats to Elio on the accomplishment there. On the other side, Adam, I'm not going to lie to you, bro. Coke 600 wasn't good. The racing wasn't good. Kyle Larson dominated. He earned Hendrick Motorsports' record-setting 269th Cup win. He dominated it. He's now the third winner in the last six Coke 600s that the winner has led over 300 laps. It wasn't good, buddy. What can NASCAR do, if anything, to better the competition at an oval that's already lost one of their dates, the All-Star Race, and has turned their fall date at the oval into a road course being the Roval? What can they do?
I am honestly not sure. Maybe trying the 750 package there might help. 750 horsepower package, obviously. It's 550 for mile and a half, but they changed the rule for Darlington, specifically for Darlington, but that race was great. It had a lot of great racing. This race had some passes for the lead, but when Larson checked out, he checked out. He won by more than 10 seconds. He led almost 330 laps, which was very reminiscent of what Martin Truex Jr. did 5 years ago when he led, I think, 392 of the 400 in 2016. Just this pure dominance that we see at Charlotte. It seems like every other year we get something that's this uncompetitive. And I'm not sure, you know, Charlotte's oval is such a hit or miss track that I can't pinpoint a particular change they could or should make. You know, the oval races aren't the worst thing on the schedule. There are worse tracks. There are more consistently underwhelming tracks. And it obviously should stay for that reason and the track's history, but there definitely need to be some changes. But I can't pinpoint anything that stands out in my mind.
Last but not least, Adam, got two parts for you, so I'll do the first part right here. Like I mentioned in question two, Hendrick set a record with their 269th victory overall, passing Petty Enterprises for the most victories all time. Now, do you think that they've unseated Petty as the greatest team in NASCAR history?
I think so in terms of consistency. They've been competitive for basically all of the nearly 40 years they've been around. 13 titles, there's 269 wins, consistently having contenders in their cars that are up front. From Jeff Gordon to Terry Labonte to Jimmy Johnson to Chase Elliott, all of whom won titles in the various eras of NASCAR with Hendrick, along with other constant contenders, you know, Mark Martindale Jr., Kyle Busch in the 2000s. Petty Enterprises, Hendrick still has now, you know, Alex Bowman, William Byron, Kyle Larson, all of whom have won races this year. And Chase Elliott, who's the defending champion, has also won a race. Petty Enterprises has its strengths. But the past 15 to 20 years have kind of been a slow decline for them, probably even longer. They've had talent behind the wheel, you know, John Andretti, Casey Kane, Bubba Wallace, Eric Almirola, but they haven't contended as often as Hendrick has. Eric Jones is a solid driver, but I don't think we'll see the number 43 back in victory lane for some time. The stable just isn't as fast as Hendrick, Joe Gibbs, Stuart Haas, Richard Childress, Wood Brothers, Ross Fenway, Team Penske, even newcomers like Team Trackhouse and 23XI Racing. They both outran Petty tonight and have through some portions of the year. Team Trackhouse especially, they've been impressive, but that's an answer for another day. But yeah, I think Hendrick has definitely outshined Petty in terms of consistency for sure. I've been listening to a lot of Soundgarden lately, so I had to throw an outshined reference in there.
Oh, Adam, you and your music. I just can't sometimes with you, my friend.
Chris Cornell's the GOAT, man. Chris Cornell's the GOAT.
Yeah. Moving on, Mr. Cheek. It's the second part of that question here before we call it a night. Everybody's got their different opinions on the most memorable win for the Hendrick Motorsports in their history. But for you personally, what is the most memorable win for HMS for you?
Ooh, see, this is tough. I had to research this for a little bit on Racing Reference and stuff because the ones I remember are the more recent ones. So personally, stuff like the 1-2-3 finish in the 97 Daytona 500, Jimmy winning after the tragic plane crash in 2000 in the early 2000s, Gordon winning the first ever Brickyard 400, Casey Mears winning the Coke 600. All this stuff doesn't resonate with me as much. It does resonate, but the personal feeling of, you know, witnessing it on TV or whatever. Brian Vickers 2006 win at Talladega, which wasn't great for Hendrick because Jimmy Johnson ended up with a wrecked race car, but Vickers wound up in victory lane with one of my all-time favorite paint schemes at GMAC car. But there's a lot from recent times, man. Jimmy in 2016 at Homestead winning the title after Carl Edwards looks had to have a lock on it. Dale Jr. at the 2014 Daytona 500, which honestly might be my pick, even with stuff like Jeff Gordon at Martinsville, Alex Bowman at Richmond this year, of course, after the death of Rowdy Harrell. He was visibly emotional for that. I think it might be the 2014 Daytona 500 just because I remember that race. I remember watching that. It was a wild week leading up to it. You had Parker Kligerman in the catch fence during, I believe, practice.
Was it a Wednesday afternoon? I think it was before the duels, right?
It might have been a Wednesday. Yeah. I remember I was in math class in high school and I saw, and the Kligerman news broke and I was like looking up images of it on my phone and the video.
That 30 car for Swan Racing.
Yeah. Yeah. Both Swan cars, I think, were involved in that. Ryan Truex as well, back when he was with BK. But yeah, it was a memorable race as a whole. Like a couple days before, you had Clint Bowyer doing a full 360 flip in the duels, landing back on all fours.
With Reed Sorensen. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, in the race, you know, we had it was rain delayed, if I'm not mistaken, because they ended up finishing at night, like 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And Dale Jr., like those last 10 laps, he had that black piece of rubber or bear bond or something just all over the front grill. and it didn't seem to affect his car. He was fine and went on to win the race. So that's probably my pick, even though Jeff Gordon's win at Martinsville, which is a race that had the whole Logano-Kenseth drama, also resonates with me a lot. It's probably the 2014 Daytona 500, Dale Jr. getting his second and last win in that race.
You see, everyone, this is what I have to deal with Adam sometimes. I ask for one, and he gives me 21. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's a good thing. Tonight, that wasn't a good thing, but I still love him regardless. Adam, I'm just giving you a hard time, buddy.
What's your favorite, Ryan? What's your favorite Hendrick win?
Oh, by far, the 2014 Daytona 500. I mean, okay. The 2015 Gordon win at Martinsville as a close second. Not really a close second, let's be honest. I mean, that win for Junior was just so awesome. And I remember, it was a couple months ago, I went back on YouTube, and he was doing press conferences like 3:30 in the morning, Daytona time. I mean, it was incredible. So that's easily by far the most memorable one and the greatest one for me. And
that image of him after the race when he's driving along the opposite way past the grandstands, waving at everyone, it's the biggest smile on his face. That's like burned into my brain.
Yeah, that's genuine emotion right there. And that's kind of the genuine emotion we saw with Elio today. I mean,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. It
very, very cool. It's very surreal to see that genuine emotion. Adam, it's always a pleasure, buddy. I appreciate it. We went a little long on this podcast this Sunday, so hopefully our boss, Tom, doesn't get too mad at us, but I think he'll be okay. It's always a pleasure, buddy. And let's talk on Thursday to go left and right, going to Wine Country in Sonoma, buddy.
Hey, if we went long, we went long for a good reason, because it was the longest race of the year. That race is a little longer than normal. We went a little longer than normal. So
hey.
The universe has aligned once again. Looking forward to previewing Sonoma with you, man.
I love it. I love how we circled back to the main gist of it. Adam Cheek, you can find Adam and his witty puns at Adam N. Cheek. You can find me on Twitter at The Brian Nolan, and for all the latest on the Coke 600, Indy 500, and more, we got a bunch of Indy 500 stuff from our good friend and editor of the IndyCar site, Christopher DeHart, who was at the Brickyard for the greatest spectacle of racing. Check it out, frontstretch.com. For Adam, I am Brian Nolan, and for all of us here at Front Stretch, stay healthy, stay safe. When you get a chance, please get vaccinated.